the time when the ICANN board meets with the registrars. As is our pattern, we're interested in listening and we're interested in content, frank, specific, pointed. Make good use of the time. We can skip over all of the platitudes about how nice it is to be here and all of that and just get right down to business. And with McKaylee next to me, I know that that's exactly what's going to happen. So, meeting's yours. Let's get into it.
Okay, thank you, Steve. We have four or five matters that we wanted to discuss with you, and as we've done on other occasions, we've chosen one person or to do one or two of these topics specifically. So the first one, I'll hand over to James Bladel.
Actually, the first two questions we've decided to combine because it was kind of an underlying theme. And in general, it was just, and to some extent, these questions or these concerns have been overtaken by events of this weekend and, of course, some of the announcements in the run-up to this meeting in Singapore. But in general, registrars were concerned about I think what we would consider to be the lack of a voice or the channel to provide feedback or input into a number of the internet governance activities that were occurring. We felt like ICANN in particular as an organization was getting out in front of its community a little too far. Now, I think that we are much more comfortable, we're in a better place today than we were when we were drafting these questions, you know, in advance of this meeting, based on the news of the from the NTIA, but also some of the preliminary structures that we're seeing being put in place to frame this discussion over the 12 to 15 months it's going to take to set up this proposal, and then also the recognition that two of the strategy panels have since been dissolved and that we would be moving instead in favor of this other process. So I think we're probably feeling better, but we would like to at least make a note to the board and to staff that that the community, at least our segment of it, our slice of it, would like to be more involved in the run-up of these topics initially and not necessarily be in reactive mode when we're fielding questions on what's going on with our with external media, with our investors and our stakeholders on the other side. So I think that was the impetus behind these questions. And again, I want to emphasize that we feel a lot better about them today than we did 2 weeks ago.
That's good to hear. Let me just make a general comment about the line two about continued use of expert working groups, which I'll take to mean in a broad and generic sense as opposed to the specific nomenclature. We do have a bit of a profusion. We have the four strategy panels that have produced reports. We had the board advisory groups that were created and are now being phased out in light of present circumstances. And the high-level group that's producing inputs into Net Mundial. And so I recognize that it's even a bit hard to keep track of everything. And then the particular term expert working group has been used for a very specific project related to the future of WHOIS. In fact, we try not to use that term at all. And I know in this community, in the registrar community, you're keenly aware of that effort that's going on. And so, but there is a general thing that applies to all of that, which is each of these is intended to generate ideas, but not to make decisions. These are not authorized to; they don't have any authority, and they don't have, and they're not the process by which we make decisions. The process by which we make decisions is the one that we've agreed to, it's documented, and it's part of our bylaws and our standard processes. So it does add quite a bit of activity, and maybe it's hard to keep up with everything, but the intent is to enrich the set of ideas that we have to deal with, but not to change or subvert the decision processes. So that's a comment on just a general use of two. I don't know if that's helpful or makes things worse from your point of view or whatever.
I think it's helpful. I think that, you know, I think recognizing that part of the culture of ICANN is the first group or individual even to weigh in on a topic sometimes can build up a bit of inertia for a particular position. So I think that it's encouraging to hear that that's not going to be necessarily the primary decision factor, but it is noteworthy that when a group comes out with its ideas that generates some inertia.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways in which we can screw up the process. And over time, I would say, in the past several years, we've gotten better and better about being more reasoned and dispassionate about the process, more deliberate, and trying not to trip over ourselves, both within the staff and throughout the SOs and ACs and certainly the board. Years ago, we used to have late night drafting sessions and effectively craft policy at 3 a.m., a very bad idea. We don't do that anymore. I think it works better. We may have slowed things down, although I don't think the actual result is slower. I think by partitioning when the work gets done, we're in better shape on that. So enough on that. Anybody else want to comment on it, on this? Michaela, you're in charge.
You keep saying that, Steve. I find that quite disturbing that you would put me in charge of anything, but thank you.
Works for me. I don't know about anybody else, but...
Thanks. Anybody else, registrars or board or anybody, have any thoughts on this?
Is it time for my full disclosure? I have quite a few domains registered in various countries. I do not have any domains registered in Ireland, and I have no domains registered through McKaylee's company.
I'm sure we can work on that. Ooh. Thank you, Cyrus. Which is an interesting segue. The next topic, as we've combined topics one and two, the next topic was in relation to the REA national laws, and I suppose in some ways it's also to do with, you know, handling of a lot of that. We're going to hand that over to Lindsay. Where is she? Oh, she's at the back. Do you have a microphone?
Oh, can you hear me now? Okay, so...
For the record, could you state your name, because nobody can see you and they need to know who you are. And
okay. Lindsay Hamilton-Reed, legal counsel for One and One. So there's been a lot of discussion around the RIA waiver requests and decision and how it relates to national laws. I know that a couple of the waiver requests have been granted, and that's been for 1 year. That still contravenes EU law. I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with this, but under EU law, there is no time period stated. So saying 1 year doesn't really help. We could probably, at a push, maybe keep data for 3 months, but even then, I wouldn't be necessarily happy to sign that. The other issue we have is the fact that it's now been put out for public comment. That's basically saying that EU law has been put out for public comment and it's not going to change. So obviously we've got quite a few issues with this, and it's really kind of to find out how we can move forward.
Thank you, Lindsay. Erica, I believe you wanted to address this.
Yeah, maybe just to add a few points, because there's so much confusion, obviously, about EU law, and sometimes the reference to EU law is not not always helpful. So let me just maybe make the correct few points. The current directive, the retention directive, the current has different time frames because it's a directive. A directive means that in EU law, it can be changed accordingly to national requirements. We have different set of law in the European Union, so but that's for a directive. That's the reason why there is no a clearly defined timetable which works for all European member states. Second issue, with regard to the data retention law, it is questioned in certain member states because of constitutional requirements which are not met in all cases when the law was drafted. For example, in Germany, the constitutional law raised serious questions, and practically the law is not constituted in the moment in Germany. This leads to my third point. The directive will be under review, and the European Commission already signaled that it will review the data retention legislation, and very likely we will see a new law once the European Parliament comes in 2015, emerging. So my recommendation here would be, and I'm not going into the detail because this is something the management team must do, how it wants to frame the contractual obligation. But I think you want to take this into consideration and then in discussions with the registries, you want to find accordingly the best suitable situation. I'm happy to help here to get the facts right.
Thank you, Erica. Anybody else? Sorry, I can't see your thing from here, and I'm hopeless.
No problem. It's Guo Weiwu, which is also the ICANN board. Continue for this one. I'd like to let the registrar understand that right now, up to now, I think there is a many countries in the Asia Pacific, they already have a data protection law. So we need to, be careful of that issue too.
Thank you. Volker.
Hello, Volker Greimann speaking, Registrar Constituency. I would like to highlight that a lot of the problems that we're having right now are, in my view, process failure within ICANN or within ICANN staff. When we negotiated the RAA, data contention was always one of the most contentious issues and the issues that delayed having a final result. We finally thought that we had found a solution by allowing for exclusions from the data retention requirement for European registrars by those registrars requesting a waiver. We defined the waiver process with ICANN and in good faith believe that we would be able to work with ICANN staff to receive the waivers once we followed that process. Many registrars have followed that process, provided a waiver request as specified in the RAA, giving a legal opinion from a reputable law firm as required in the RAA and in the specification, which include the waiver process. And so far, we've had nothing but delays. The first waivers requests have been sent to ICANN in October last year, many more in November. We're still talking about it. Sometimes it feels like we're on a bazaar where we are trying to get a better result by saying, how about this amount of time, how about that amount of time, where we are trying to clarify that this is not a thing that's up for negotiation, this is the law. When ICANN has a problem with how the law is interpreted, they should provide a legal opinion and show where we are interpreting the wrong incorrectly, not trying to make a better deal. So essentially, I'm saying ICANN staff has been approaching this from the wrong angle, and we would hope that the board issues a directive or recommends to staff to proceed with utmost urgency with this matter. Many registrars under the 2009 RAA are currently up for renewal within the next few months, and some of them are feeling that they are unable to sign the 2013 RAA without being forced to violate either that RAA or the national laws, and that is a situation that we simply cannot have. It has come to our attention that many of the reluctances within ICANN staff are due to a fear of backlash from parts of the community that have supported data retention as a requirement in the RAA. And I still think that this cannot be the issue at hand. The issue at hand is that registrars must be allowed to follow their national laws, be in compliance with both the RAA and the national law, and for that we do have to have the waivers, and that soon.
Cyrus, this falls directly in your lap.
Yes, thank you, Steve, and thank you, Volker. I wanted to actually take a step back and address something that Lindsay mentioned earlier and sort of echo what Erica Mann was saying, that our understanding is that there is no uniform law that actually provides legislation for the entire European Union. Our understanding and our position is that every country has different interpretation and the way they legislate it is different. So we are actually approaching it on a country-by-country basis. The other thing that I wanted to highlight is just to help put things in perspective in terms of the scope of the issue and the magnitude of the issue and its proportion to the level of, I suppose, frustration that's being voiced. ICANN has about 1,000 accredited registrars. Of that, about 17%, 170 or so, are based in the European territory. Within that 17%, to date, we've had nearly 50% already signed the 2013 RAA. And of that, actually, the highest number has been in the German, in Germany. And I say this just to highlight the fact that even among the registrars in the territory in the European Union, there is obviously different opinions and different interpretations of what needs to be done and to what extent the waiver process is effective. To date, we have received a total of 15 requests for waiver to data retention requirements that the RAA has in place. One waiver has already been granted in France, which essentially becomes the template for every French-based registrar to use going forward. We just noticed the community for another waiver in Belgium. We have Luxembourg in the pipeline in the next 2 weeks or so. Netherlands is not too far behind that. So we're clearly putting the right resources behind the issue. We're moving as fast as we can, and in fact, as quickly as mostly the registrars are moving with us. So I'd like to close by really highlighting something that I've been saying and echoing all along, that there's no reluctance on our part to engage. This is a very difficult issue to get our arms around. There are no clear lines of demarcation in terms of what data retention requirements are in each country. And it really is a collective and collaborative effort on our part and the part of the registrars to figure out what the right boundaries are for it. Thank you.
Thank you.
James?
Oh, just a note that while I think the statistics provide a good snapshot of where we are today, even as a North American-based registrar, we're watching this issue very closely, because this is, as the gentleman pointed out, this is now being discussed in circles in Asia and in Latin America, and this issue is not limited to the EU. It is expanding to include other areas, and registrars who may be based outside of these areas but seeking to serve those particular markets. So it is possible that this snowball can continue to roll downhill, and one possible scenario is that all registrars may be seeking this this waiver. So we're watching it very closely as well. And I think that the concern is that one of the reasons we're stuck here is that different interests that are mostly outside of ICANN, the interest of law enforcement and online, combating online crime, are at odds with the interests of protecting personal data online. And I feel like our commercial agreements are sort of caught in the middle of that dynamic. And it feels like even our best efforts and engagement here in ICANN may only be a partial solution to that problem. So we're looking at this very closely as well, and we're kind of standing with solidarity with our European competitors, understanding that we may be in the same boat soon.
Yes, Volker.
Just one remark towards Cyrus's remark. That the fact that many registrars have already signed the RAA is not indicative of them accepting that the obligation included in the 2013 RAA is in any way binding upon them. Many are relying on the severability clause, which is included in the RAA, which states that items in the RAA that are in violation of national law are not applicable. However, that puts them in the position that they might be in risk of a compliance action when ICANN does not agree. So many registrars would rather have the waiver and avoid that scenario of being found in violation of ICANN policy and having then to evidence that they're in compliance with national law and therefore had to follow that rule. So just because many registrars signed does not mean that they are of a different opinion. They are right behind us on this.
Thank you, Volker. I think we're going to close off this topic unless there's something else to add. No. The one thing that I would just want to add personally, without getting too deeply into this, is that maybe the ICANN board could actually discuss this with the GAC, because ultimately it is an issue for government. Mike?
It has been raised with the GAC, and we received feedback from the GAC, which was they're not going to be addressing it. And we've been around this quite a few times. I just think that it is critical to note that the exemption process is alive. It may not be perfect, but I don't think we're looking at perfection over here, given the lack of consistency across European data laws. I don't think that we're ever going to get a perfect situation, but we've got to find a practical situation, and if we can get guidance as to how to practically improve the current situation, that'll be very appreciated. Sitting on one's hands and saying there's a problem is not necessarily the right way of going about it.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Volker, this is the last one.
I apologize, Michele. Actually, we have proposed to ICANN staff a workable solution, which would be to grant a temporary waiver based on the request made by the registrar. I mean, these requests are not pulled out of thin air. They are usually backed up by a legal opinion by a reputable law firm or even the data protection officials of that country. And granting that temporary waiver, then putting it up for public comment, anybody could, with a legal opinion, counter the waiver that was temporarily granted, and then it could be revoked, amended, or anything after that fact. Would only maybe cost 1, 2, 3 months of data being lost. Not, I don't think that as such a critical loss that it weighs higher than a registrar losing its accreditation or facing the risk of compliance action or legal action in this country.
Thank you, Volker. So I'm just moving on to the next topic. Jeff?
Thank you. Jeff Eckhouse here. And before I start, I just want you to take a look at number 4, and you could probably just take that out of your mind and just rename it teamwork, just to make life easier, because I don't want you to think about the picks. So the NGPC and the board recently moved ahead with the Category 1 TLDs. So first, thank you for that. And the PICs are currently being introduced to implement the new requirements, and I believe that's into Spec 11. which those are now being included in those registry agreements. And for those of you that in the room that are not aware, this means the registries are now instructed to put into their registry registrar agreements, and then the registrars are meant to implement these changes. As registrars, I guess we'll complain a little bit, but we're not really complaining much because this makes sense, because we as registrars are the last mile. We're the entities that interact with customers, so this should be work through us. The issue that I wanted to address to the board here is that there really has been no discussion with registrars or, I believe, registries on any of the operational impact that these would have. In previous sessions such as this, we have asked to be involved, to work with the board, to work with the NGPC, yet always seem to get, I hate to use the word the cold shoulder because it might seem a little harsh, but we haven't progressed. And I don't necessarily believe that you as the board are ignoring us on here, but I think it might just seem to get lost in the shuffle. So my question to the board, and hopefully we have time more, is what do you suggest that we as registrars need to do to make this happen, since we believe it would benefit all of the affected parties to have some operational thinking go along with the policy? Could we set up a contracted party, registries and registrars, sort of an implementation team? I won't touch the word expert working group or anything like that, to help to advise the board. And maybe if advise is the wrong word because it has some sort of connotations to it, maybe you could just use us as a sounding board, see what makes sense. I think the registrars, we've discussed it. I know the registries have. We're ready to roll up our sleeves. This was, you know, and to work with the board to make this happen, because I think it would really clear up some of the misunderstandings. It would definitely streamline some of the compliance issues, and I think make a better program for everyone if the contracted parties and the groups that need to implement this were talked to along the way to help clarify things, because we're getting to the point now where there are misunderstandings, things aren't clear, and we really don't want that to happen. We want a good program for everyone. So I'm looking to the board, you know, some suggestions. How do we make this happen besides, you know, three times a year, I guess, us asking about it and then, you know, nothing really comes of it. And it's partly on us for not pursuing it, but I'll turn it to you, and hopefully you could help us drive this forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Akram?
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, hello, Fadi.
Thank you, Jeff, for your request. We are more than happy to sit down and figure out how the implementation will work with you. So, if that's helpful.
Yeah, I'm not asking for specifically, that's why I said forget about the category one here. I'm not saying let's turn back the clock. I'm saying on a go forward basis, what do we need to do that before some of these issues that come down from the board level that are set here, implement this, do this, to talk to us in advance, to maybe even just work on some of the language on it and what it means and what that operational impact is to help smooth that out. It's not, that's why I said let's change around the word about the teamwork on number four, because about the Category 1 TLDs, I'm not saying let's turn back the clock and go back on that. On a go-forward basis, how do we work together as sort of, you know, as partners on this to make things better for registries, registrars, and, of course, most important, the registrants here?
Akram? Does that help kind of frame the issue?
I think we accept the challenge to figure out a way to work forward on, to work together before we actually make these kind of decisions. But I think that this is something that we will have to tackle on the next issue. So it's very hard for me to predict what that would be. But we agree that working with the registrars will be much more constructive and hopefully much easier for us than working after the fact. So we appreciate that.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, maybe something as a model could be something like the RCEP, RSTEP process, where you know you have a group sort of waiting in the wings, and some of those impacts go through them. That could be one suggestion. But yes, I think definitely let's discuss it, because I think it would be make life easier for everyone going forward. Thanks.
Thank you. James? Yeah, since we kind of sorry, I've lost my voice, unfortunately. I'll actually have to pass over to Jennifer because I've lost my voice. Sorry.
Unfortunately for you, perhaps.
This item is done on the agenda, but we'd like to add it, which is the metrics validation for LEA, excuse me, and as it relates to the 2013 RAA, HUA specification, and James, you would please take this one.
Yeah, thanks, Jen. And so this actually was a last-minute addition, doesn't appear on the list. It came up in our meeting earlier today. We had a very rigorous exchange with ICANN compliance, showing that there's still a lot of confusion operationally and that we're still encountering a number of, I hesitate to use the word glitches, I think that's a loaded term, but we're still experiencing a lot of issues relative to WHOIS verification. We're experiencing a high number of false positives. We're experiencing some differing standards, and we're trying to work this out. You know, this is not a room full of registrars who are trying to get out of their obligations. We're trying to understand them and trying to apply them consistently across the industry in a way that our customers can understand. And one of the points very, very well raised by Elliot Noss from Two Cows was that we really need to see, I think beholden on the community to also demonstrate that there is some good coming from all of this, that we are improving WHOIS data quality, that we are cracking down on the folks who are using WHOIS to hide their nefarious activities. And it really was interesting because it took me back to an exchange between myself and Mike Silber and Fadi in at the public forum in Durban, where we discussed this very topic, and Fadi made an interesting quote here, and it was something along the lines of that we were already engaging with law enforcement specifically on the topic of developing metrics for success to understand that the WHOIS verification process was yielding some tangible benefits. So our question to the board, and I see Fadi's joined us, and to Fadi is, London would be 1 year since that commitment was made to us. Can we expect that we'll have some sort of feedback by that time that from law enforcement that all of these changes and implemented requirements are making a difference?
Akram, go ahead.
Thank you, Michele. So one of actually the recommendations that came from the WHOIS working group, and not the expert working group, but the WHOIS review team actually, was to do some statistical analysis on the WHOIS data and look into it from a perspective of over time improvements. And that program is about ready to launch from ICANN. So we will be able to share that data online with everybody to see the effects of, over time, how the WHOIS data how valid is the WHOIS data over time. So I think that should address some of the concerns. I don't think we can go, I don't know if we can go back and look at it backwards, but I think moving forward we'll be able to look at that and demonstrate some of the value of all the effort that we're putting into it.
Thanks, Akram. I think, yeah, if we can at least provide some perspective as we go forward in time that this is having an impact, because as we know, we've got an install base that's probably going to take years to get work through, and we need this going forward. And I think that will also serve future requests for registrars, because as we noted, this is not necessarily the end of the request for data collection, data verification, data retention, and I'm hoping that we can put that on the other side of the scale when we look at the operational costs and customer and market confusion that's created by some of these changes.
So yes, James, it will be done by London.
Elliot and then Mike.
Yeah, Fadi Akram, I think that was beside the point that James was making. James, you'll tell me if I'm misstating it. This is not, the measurement that we're looking for is not about the accuracy of the WHOIS data at all. It's about the benefits either from that accuracy. You know, this is the same thing with registrant validation. This is the same thing with publishing a WHOIS, a domain abuse contact in WHOIS. All three of these things were put out as extremely important primarily by LEA. All three of these things have created demonstrable burden and problem for registrants. Yes, registrars, but registrants. You know, I think, you know, if you cared to hear operationally, you would hear about tens and hundreds of thousands of terrible stories that are happening to legitimate businesses and individuals. So the benefit that we're looking for is what crime has been forestalled, what issues around fraud, what issues around, you know, we heard about pedophilia regularly from law enforcement. What has any of this done to create benefits in that direction? WHOIS accuracy is nice in and of itself, but it's well beside the point. So what I'd like to hear from you guys, and Fadia, you know, we have the exact wording of the quote, and the two important points, you know, James didn't read the whole quote into the record, but the two important points are, we understand very clearly, and we will work with law enforcement, not WHOIS accuracy, but law enforcement, to demonstrate the benefits, and two, and more importantly, that we will not come back to you for additional measures until those benefits have been demonstrated. That's your quote, Fadi. And the important thing, and I can read it to you because I have it right here, yep. And the important thing about that is if you go into today what's going on in a few different venues, but especially the privacy and proxy discussion, there are significant additional requests already being made. Thanks.
Mike or Fadi, do you want to respond to Elliot?
No.
Okay. Mike?
Just firstly, thank you for bringing the issue up. As much as we try and track all of the open issues, we can't always, and sometimes things slip, so thank you for reminding us of that. I think Elliot made a very important distinction, and not having heard somebody jump in to say, no, that's not what I meant. I'm assuming that the question is, what benefit law enforcement has had from it. That's certainly something that I will chat with staff and to see in terms of how we can get it. What I cannot do is force law enforcement to give us anything, but I think what we can do is press the point home with law enforcement that if they want more and if they want greater compliance and if they want greater collaboration, it would be very useful to show the people who are going through the exercise what benefits law enforcement are receiving from it in order to encourage the participants to continue their involvement and actually comply with further requests rather than to push back. And I think that encouragement will be understood by law enforcement. Whether they'll give us specific metrics in time for London, well, that's up to them. We can only request it and encourage it.
Akram, I assume you wanted to speak to this specifically, then I'll go to John Berryhill.
Well, I think Mike just said most of what I wanted to say, but I also want to reply to Elliot a little bit on the WHOIS accuracy data. Before we can ask the law enforcement how good, how helpful were these requests, it's important to be able to show that what we've implemented has improved the accuracy, and then say, now that the accuracy is improved, has that helped you, right? So there are, you know, just saying that we've implemented these things, but we haven't seen any improvement online on the data itself does not, you know, allow us to ask the second question.
That's great, and I appreciate that. So let's take you at your word there, and let me remind everybody in this room that the registrars were of one voice that these particular implementations were not likely to help and would create burdens on registrants and would in fact be negative. So if that's true, then the right response is to perhaps take away some of these additional burdens that we've imposed now, because again, what we are having every day in the tens of thousands, is people's websites going dark inadvertently, with them being confused. So if that's true, then maybe what we need to do is to roll back and try something new with, hopefully this time, the community listening a little bit more to registrar's input to make this effective.
John Burial.
Yeah, I think measuring the who is quality first and then going to law enforcement is putting the cart before the horse. If I steal your wallet and your credit cards and your ID and register a domain name, I guarantee you the Whois data is going to be accurate, okay? It's going to have your address, it's going to have your phone number and all that. Every domain name registered with a stolen identity used for child porn and trademark infringement and illegal purposes has fantastically accurate Whois data, which is going to verify. Every year, 20% of the United States population changes their address. How many of domain registrants remember to update their Whois data? Who knows? But there are more. You're going to find more good faith, you know, law-abiding domain registrants with bad Whois data. So, you know, we can improve the Whois accuracy to 100% by eliminating all the non-criminals and making sure that, yes, 100% of the identity thieves have their Whois quality improved. But the question is not, you know, have we improved the Whois quality? Because what law enforcement is going to see is, oh, well, crime has increased using domains. Yeah, because you know what? We got rid of well-meaning, but, you know, people that weren't paying attention, and we made sure that the criminals weren't bothered. And so law enforcement is going to come back looking for, you know, yet further measures for enforcement before we get to the point where it's like, yes, all the criminals are verified, all the fire extinguishers on the Titanic are functioning.
Thank you, John.
Let me jump in here. So I've listened carefully to what you said, and this is not the first time that these ideas have been put forth. Clearly, with law enforcement not in the room, it's hard to have a substantive discussion to deal with all that. But some of you, I suspect, actually know a lot more about what the real cycles are and where the points of leverage would be. This isn't the right time or place to get into a deep discussion, but I'd be interested in just hints of what to do with this conversation rather than just say this is expensive and it's not doing any good. Elliot, you're shaking your head no.
Well, yeah, because there's two things. One, I very purposely never said it was expensive. And I wasn't saying it wasn't doing any good. I was saying it's doing harm, Steve. There are people who are having their websites go dark out of confusion.
I'm sorry. I was trying to agree with you. Expensive, and so.
Okay.
So
and then, you know, on the other point, you know, look, in the GNSO the other day, poor Cyrus had to stand up and sort of defend this stuff, and there was a dialogue on it there. You know, a point I tried to make there is, you know, hey, if law enforcement, you know, wants to, you know, where are they in this discussion? You know, we if they want to participate in multi-stakeholder in the way that now, again, and I'm going to be making this point repeatedly, multi-stakeholder stakes are raised. We all have to be more effective in multi-stakeholder. I think it becomes incumbent on you, Steve, on Fadi, on the board.
And on you. And on you.
I'm saying, hey, we were there the first time to do this. We offered to do this the first time and weren't listened to. We're offering to do it again. Every one of the registrars
would be thrilled to participate
in that exercise.
It's not just you as a registrar, but it's you as a senior, knowledgeable leader.
Just call me old.
No, I'm old. You're senior. You are one of the, I mean, I'm drawing on the fact that I've known Elliot in other contexts as well. Very smart guy and very capable. How do we get a much better dialogue on all this? And
let me give you a specific answer to that.
Yeah.
Rather than get law enforcement input through the board, through the GAC reps, indirectly, in smaller meetings, and not just in separate sessions, in a more integrated fashion. So this is, I think we all have the same goals here. So how do we better integrate their input? How do we make it a dialogue? How do we make it when that GNSO discussion is going on, when this discussion is going on, when the broader discussions are going on? You know, it's, and so there, you know, it's incumbent for you guys to say to them, hey, great, you know, let's integrate your input. Let's get it all together, yeah. Convene it.
I actually took a whack at this myself some time ago and discovered that trying to get the right dialogue with law enforcement was hard. They know how to say what they want. Trying to get into the more objective, what's the payoff, where's your data, an evidence-based discussion, to use the current lingo, ran into two problems, I think. The first problem was that I wasn't talking to the right people, and the second one is they had no idea who the right people were. And I suspect there's a third one, which is they might not have any data. But other than that, things went very smoothly, you know.
Fadi, I believe, wanted to say something.
I wanted to agree with Elliot that it's very important that law enforcement come and engage here, like any other stakeholder, and frankly avoid the triangular relationships, just have them come here. So I'm happy to share with you that I met with all the law enforcement people here in Singapore in a meeting. They invited me to chat with them, and I asked them to, by London, to come up with an active engagement plan with the community that I'm happy to support them in doing. This is not about formalizing necessarily their group into some new SO and AC, I want to be clear, but I told them that we can help them to engage better with the community as a group, and they've taken the challenge, and I hope we can achieve your goal by London. I hope if they come through, we will.
That sounds excellent. Thanks very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. I think we've had a fairly robust back and forth, as we generally do. Hand over to you.
Indeed, as I suggested, getting down into specifics and having frank discussion is what this is all about. So we did a good job. I'm certainly energized, and I appreciate everybody's participation here. So on behalf of the board, thank you. And thank you.
Thank you.
Good. Let's give ourselves a round of applause here.